What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X, and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, welcome back to the show. My name is Matt. Our pal Noel is on adventures and will be returning shortly.
They call me Ben. We're joined, as always, with our super producer, Paul the Eclipse Deccant. Most importantly, you are you. You are here. That makes this the stuff they don't want you to know. Matt, funny story. Back when our office was at Ponce City Market, I was at the little bodega downstairs, and I was buying a Coca-Cola Classic. And the cashier at the place, really cool guy named Dylan, he said, "You know, man, at some point in your life, your health will become the most important part of your existence. It's really only a matter of when it becomes the most important part."
Ah, but the most important question for that story is, was it a plastic bottle or a glass bottle?
Everybody check out our episode on microplastics. Also the one where we ruin the concept of recycling. But
also one of those is the superior product, I would argue. Well, I guess it's changed now a little bit.
The glass bottle, though.
Yeah. The big one, though.
right. Here we go. That's our big salad argument. Yeah. I mean, but this sounds like a lot to drop on someone when they're buying a soda. But in full context, you know, we usually make friends with folks wherever we go. So Dylan and I knew each other pretty well by that point. And he had a really solid perspective. You know, we know that small lifestyle changes can lead to huge results over time. Fewer sugary drinks, for example, or just taking a daily walk. At the heart of every single piece of advice from a medical professional, from a weight loss expert, from a dietitian, nutritionist, what have you, at the heart of it, the advice is always going to be to create a calorie deficit, to use more energy than one consumes. And so exercise, diet, these can all play a role in helping you be a more healthy person. And not for nothing have these all become multi-billion dollar industries. And Matt, not to put us both on the spot, but I think we've both been exploring just small changes that can help you feel healthier and indeed become healthier.
Oh yeah, for sure. Cutting out most, I would say 95% of sugared drinks changed my life.
and regular exercise changed my life. And it is what you're pointing out here is super important for this episode. Anytime I've ever gone to a doctor, a physician that I trusted, and went in, let's say I had to temporarily get prescribed some kind of medicine, at the end of that conversation, when I'm being prescribed medicine, it's that statement you just said. Also, diet and exercise. You know, just like right. Watch what you eat, try and be healthy about it, and get regular exercise. But yes, also take this medicine from this giant pharmaceutical company because it might help you. But, you know, you can make yourself healthy as well.
Also, yeah, I love it because, you know, shout out to the medical professionals in the crowd, that diet and exercise sort of that coda, that chorus, that speaking point, they say it every time because it is so often ignored. There is not a silver bullet magic pill that replaces calorie deficit.
Calorie deficit, massive. But also, you know, nutrient-rich food, which is not the easiest thing to get. It's not the easiest way. You putting that into your lifestyle is not easy. I'm terrible at it. I'm so bad. Give me a ham sandwich and some friggin' jalapeno chips. Let's go. That's my lunch. All good. Mm-hmm. Almost no nutrients in there.
Well, you get your daily dose of ham.
And mayo, probably, because that's the way I roll, unfortunately. And probably hot sauce. But it's like, it is not the easiest thing to do, especially with the way economies are set up right now, with the way food access, right? It's just, it all factors into today's subject.
And today's subject is not just the reality of exercise, diet, mortality, and health. Specifically, we're looking at another multi-billion dollar industry at work in the U.S. and indeed around the globe, an entire cavalcade of companies, corporations, and at times conspiracies built to convince you that a magic pill exists or a magic powder exists. It can cure almost anything that ails you. That's right, folks. We said we were coming for them, and this is the supplement episode. We were talking a little bit off air. This is probably going to be a series, depending on how you find it, fellow conspiracy realists. Just a quick note swapping before we started rolling. We were like, so much here. But here are the facts. Matt,
yo.
Supplement? What's a supplement?
Supplement. Well, it's usually a pill or a powder or a liquid or something that you take on a regular basis, usually daily. Not always, but usually daily, that supplements, literally the meaning of that word, gives you a little extra of some vitamin or mineral or other nutrient that you need, according to the manufacturers of this thing and potentially even a doctor or just someone on the internet that said, hey, you got to take way more zinc, pal.
Oh, snap. You know Brian?
Yeah, yes. but it's literally meant to supplement the food right. That you are already eating.
Yeah. And of course, we are not medical professionals. Paul, Matt, and myself have never pretended otherwise, which honestly puts us a step ahead of some of the folks out there. But we know these things that you're describing, Matt, are inarguably true. All human beings require a constant pattern of ingestion of minerals, vitamins, proteins, amino acids, different sorts of bacterial material. Let's keep it. Yeah, I know. Drop the beat. Anyway, there are no exceptions to this. The body can encounter these substances in any number of ways. Sunlight, or like you said, the food you eat, the beverages you consume. Shout out Dead Prez. Let your food be your medicine. And there's not a way to, I mean, people have tried to make a one-size-fits-all list of nutritional guidelines, but that is somewhat of a fool's errand because human bodies differ so widely, you know, medical conditions, genetic legacies, physical activity. There isn't a panacea. There is not a thing you can, just to be very clear, there is not a thing you can take that can cure everything, because if there was, we would all be taking it right now.
Oh, yeah. Well, what we have are generalized ranges, basically, of like a percentage or number of, you know, parts per million or billion that are in your blood or something like that. When you're thinking about minerals or certain vitamins, if you've ever gotten blood work done or gone in for a physical, you've probably seen this. If you've taken a look at the actual documentation you receive, mm-hmm. where, you know, if the amount of magnesium in your blood is in this pretty huge range, you're probably good. It says, right. I mean, but again, you might need more because of a specific thing going on in your body, right? Or mm-hmm. you might need way less because you've macro dosed or, you know, maximum, you've maxed out your whatever. Vitamin D, we should get into that. I think we will. There are a couple of these vitamins and supplements that I know I've taken in the past where I've just taken a lot because sure. I was super low. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know you can't overdose in the same way you can on, you know, a narcotic, but you can definitely get way too much of certain substances in your body that are recommended, like in a multivitamin or something.
And then they may have bad effects. They may have deleterious consequences. Yeah. And then also you could have lifestyle changes that require a whole different sort of ingestion or nutrition fingerprint. Like if you are carrying a child, then the whole game changes. It's a different playground. There's someone else inside you for a minute. And you know what? They got a list of other stuff they want.
Yeah, they need folic acid, stat, and also
they need all of it.
Yeah, reduce a lot of the other stuff, bro. Come on. Mm-hmm. Way too much stuff.
It's too much stuff, right? And that's why this may be a series. As human medical technology progressed in step with a better understanding of biology, various eggheads throughout the history of civilization figured out that a lot of people have an ongoing lack of certain substances. And sometimes this is regionally dependent. Like if you live in a part of the world where you don't get the same access to sunlight, you might have to get one of those nifty little lamps. And what they found is that some of this stuff can be fixed pretty easily. Like if you have an iron deficiency, the steps you need to take to make up for that deficiency or address it are fairly elementary, but you might have some other problems. Like if you are listening tonight and you practice a vegan diet, you already know what we're going to say. As a former vegan, folks, vitamin B12. Are you even reading about this, Matt? I think we talked about it.
I have some vegan and or plant-based humans in my life, and that vitamin B12 is important. There are a lot of things actually that you need to supplement or probably should supplement if you're fully plant-based.
Right.
I don't know. It's creepy because if you lead that lifestyle, which is, you know, popular for a reason, for, you know, ethical reasons, there's so many reasons to lead that lifestyle. It is creepy to think that it may not give you everything you need. So you do have to supplement quite a bit.
Yeah, for a time. I mean, it becomes pretty controversial, right? It verges upon the philosophical issues here. For a time, you know, people who were practicing veganism would take vitamin B12 supplements and not know that they were derived from animal products, which is also very unethical on the part of the people selling that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's ethics. I would say this whole industry is fraught with some strange ethical stuff. When it comes to things we said right at the top, like people who are selling magic pills, right? Which isn't the case all the time. Very frequently, that is not the case in companies like massive billion-dollar companies that are selling supplements.
Right.
But it's really crazy common in some of the more offshoot like startups. You know, get out there and you're like, oh wait, what does elderberry do? Holy mackerel. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. Your old high school friend now is in an MLM and they have a miracle berry that'll totally fix your chakras. You know what I mean? Like it'll also make you taller. You'll poop blue at school. Whatever. We're making it up.
See, I'm over here talking smack about elderberries, but I've got a supplement that my son and I both take every morning when he's with me. Hey, Let's do let's just do the elderberries. It's like, all right, fine, cool, Dad.
Yeah, and this is okay. So what we're saying here is that the concept of dietary supplements, it is so broad, right? It's such a umbrella term. It encompasses so many possible things. The only real difference, at least the way Uncle Sam reckons it, as we'll see, is the difference between something that naturally occurs in the food supply versus a drug. So like your daily dose of elderberry is all well and good. The FDA looks at that as something entirely distinct from, say, your daily dose of Ritalin or Adderall or Zoloft or what are these other bottles here? I'm kidding. it's kind of like, Matt, it's kind of like saying dietary supplement to me is like saying chair. We all get what a chair is, but not all chairs are the same.
Oh, there are some weird chairs, dude. Things that shouldn't even really be a chair, but you could sit on it.
You could, yeah. You know what I mean? if you have enough confidence, there what is not a chair? But like a throne, for example, that's a chair. The electric chair is a chair. One is for kings and one is for people being murdered. You'd probably prefer one to the other, but they're both chairs. And so it is, I would argue, with dietary supplements.
Yeah. Which just goes back to kind of the way we kind of defined it at the top, right? Any supplemental vitamin or mineral that comes in either a pill, a powder, or a liquid that is not a part of the food you ingest when you're, you know, partaking in a meal or a snack or a whatever, however it is you get food into your face.
Yes, into your food face time. I mean, yeah, this is also an ancient technique, right? If you go back to some of the earliest proven human civilizations, you'll see they have these exhaustive list of herbs for very specific things. And if you go to, ancient cultures like in East Asia, right? East and Central Asia, you'll see there's this huge, very, very dense history of herbal medicine. And it goes back, we're talking thousands of years at this point. And some of that traditional medicine really does have efficacy. There's sand to it. It helps people. Other things, like ingesting mercury. Yeah.
Look, nobody's going to bat 1,000, okay? At least for longer right. than a couple of games. Mercury was a bit of a miss. But I love this idea because nothing, in my opinion, at least, this is my opinion, nothing beats experience. Nothing beats wisdom. So like been through it before-isms, I think are actually, they're important here because if you've been testing out all the herbs that are around you, let's say a culture that's in South America and they're aware of all the things, right? All the things that grow. And they've been testing them out for hundreds, if not thousands of years, you right. kind of figure out, okay, well, most of the time, this actually works pretty well when somebody's got a stomach ache. Most of the time when someone's in a lot of pain, this plant actually pretty great. Don't take too much of it or don't combine it with this other plant because we've seen what happens there.
Which is crazy because Americans are great at moderation.
But on the other hand, if you say, well, that doesn't matter, that's not science or whatever, however you want to, poo-poo that idea, you then have to go to, okay, well, what are the clinical trials that look at the substance that's inside that plant? And how does that affect people versus a placebo effect?
And who funds the trials?
That's it, man. And is there money to be gained at some point in the chain there? Right.
I love that you're pointing this out. Yeah. As of 2022, the Council for Responsible Nutrition, which is a lobbying trade group for the dietary supplement industry, they found that something north of 73 to 75% of Americans use some kind of dietary supplement. Again, it's such a broad term. It might be your Flintstone vitamin. It might be your gummy. You know what I mean? It might be your magnesium, your niacin, etc.
Well, it might be the garlic you use in a specific diet from a specific region. It could be part of a Mediterranean diet, which is, it's very strange how it works out because you can find other places that say about one third of Americans use a supplement, but they're defining it as a specific pill or something like that.
And the stereotypes aren't true, by the way. A lot of us do love garlic. Anyhow, every year in the U.S. alone, people spend about $35 billion, a little bit more actually, on supplements. And I love that you're pointing out the importance of definition there, right? Because is it a lifestyle choice to say you're going to eat more carrots? Are you going to eat more, you know, like a potassium rich food like bananas versus taking a pill? Right? It gets complicated. I mean, back in 2016, estimates said the global supplement market will reach $278.02 billion in the year 2024. And surprisingly enough, those numbers seem to be on track. That was a pretty good prediction.
What is that, like, globally?
Globally, yes.
Yeah,
yes,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I could see that, because supplements are not just a U.S. thing, man. It's a big deal everywhere you go. Some people even go to different countries to buy their supplements in bulk and then smuggle them back over to another country. Usually it's fine because, again, we'll talk about it, but the FDA is kind of like, yeah, do what you want with your vitamin A, man.
Shout out Kratom. Anyway, yeah, we might say surely. There are laws governing this stuff. You can't sell people false hope, let alone poison, and then get away with it. The answer is, folks, yeah, there are laws. But those laws, it seems, are outnumbered. By far, they are outnumbered by the conspiracies afoot. I suggest we take a pause for a word from our sponsor, find some magic pill to align our chakras, and segues.
Is getting gas at Chevron burning a hole in your wallet? What if I told you can easily earn cash back while you fill up? Introducing Drop, the app that turns every fill up into a reward. With Drop, you'll earn points to get free gift cards every time you fill up your tank. Download Drop and use code DROP77 to instantly receive $5 in points to jumpstart your savings journey. Don't miss out on turning your gas expenses into something rewarding.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Snagajob is where America goes to hire with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring.
With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs on demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time.
You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop. Podcast producer?
Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that.
With their easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way.
Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right?
Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. Visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert.
Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Here's where it gets crazy. Matt, I love that you point this out right from the jump. Yes, some things called supplements actually do work. They can help you address problems with your health.
Depending on what you take them with, how you take them, and what else you're eating. Yes, 100%. But there are other supplements that say wild stuff about how they're going to fix your body in weird ways, or, man, using the phrase like preventing cancers or some types of cancers, that is like one of the worst things, because we talk about on the show a lot, giving people false hope, right? Mm-hmm. And accepting their money. Mm-hmm. That is just, it's dirty. That's a thing.
It's so terrible too, man. Like, quote unquote, preventing cancer. It's kind of like pursuit of happiness. You know what I mean? There's a lot of CYA that those folks are saying. And they're, well,
the best you'll see is if you look at a clinical study is potentially reduces the occurrence of cancer. And then it's by like a really low, almost statistically doesn't matter number.
And cancer is another umbrella term. So things that may prevent one cancer may do bupkis for a different type of cancer.
Or, as is warned by people all over the place, like, Harvard Health Publishing and Penn Medicine, they talk about some supplements can actually feed certain types of cancer. So in all of them, we'll get even deeper into this later, but all of them say, talk with your doctor about specific supplements, especially if you've been diagnosed with cancer or if you're at like pretty extreme risk of cancer from your family or something.
Yeah.
Because some supplements are just like, hey, oh, hi, cancer. Here's some fuel.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. Summer gas on the fire. Here's a quick and dirty spoiler for differentiating between the actual helpful supplements and the stuff that is just meant to part you from your money. The actual helpful stuff does not make outrageous claims. The things that are just like, this pill will give you X amount of your daily recommended vitamin C intake or whatever, that's not an unreasonable claim. The stuff that is like, have you ever wished you had a tail or could fly or turn invisible in the moonlight? That's not real.
Man, I wish it was though. Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah, it was a short initiative by Centrum.
Yeah. Well, I guess one of the biggest things here, and one of the reasons for this concept of knowing what's in a substance and knowing that thing actually works, you're matching up so much different sets of research, and then also trusting that whatever is in that bottle is actually what it says it is on that bottle. And I don't want to jump too far ahead here, but FDA regulations, the Food and Drug Administration's regulations with these products, they're not the same as if you go to the store and you buy a product, like a food product that has been approved by one of them, or even a drug that has been approved by them. It's not the same, but there are little icons, I guess, logos you can find on certain supplements that will let you know that a third party has said, yes, this is in fact vitamin C.
Yeah. And that's very, very important because believe it or not, we always joke about how the U.S. government has a certain allowable amount of rat poop in cereal. We joke about that because it is very true. And that is actually better legislation than the stuff that applies to these supplements, by and large, you know. And we're being very careful to say, of course, not all of them are a grift. And some of them indeed are improving quality of life for people. There was this great Washington Post article from a while back wherein the journalist Tamar Haspel speaks with a bunch of people because Tamar has a question that's bothering him. And he's like, hey, if people are spending billions of dollars in the U.S. alone every year on supplements, why does it seem like most of them don't really do anything? And so he speaks with folks like Carol Haggins and Craig Hopp, who are medical professionals working in the organizations that monitor this stuff. They're not FDA, but he speaks with Craig Hopp, and Craig is at the time, the deputy director of the National Center for Complementary and Integrative Health, NCCIH. And
Nikki.
There we go. Oh, Nikki, you're so fine. So he says he's talking to his journalist and he goes, yeah, there is stuff that works in the land of herbal medicine. He says, it's a pretty short list. You got ginger for nausea. You got an upset stomach, take some peppermint. You want to disrupt difficult sleep, then take melatonin. And he says, also fish oil might help with cardiovascular disease, but we still don't know the full story because that's how scientists explore the world.
I took my dog to the vet this morning for a thing, and I have previously given her fish oil, my dog Penny, for her coat. And it was prescribed to her by a veterinary doctor.
To give like a sheen?
It's to help to put more oils basically on her skin because she was having dry skin. And it completely works for that. With a dog, I've been, you know, the omega fatty acids and all that stuff. These things are really hot. And when I say hot, as in like people are excited about them and they have been for decades now. I still don't take fish oil or whatever, but there is a hole in my knowledge here where a doctor has prescribed fish oil for my dog and I willingly give it to her because a doctor told me to, and I perceive a change, but I also have looked it up online and found conflicting things about it, which just goes to show like, and again, I'm looking up stuff about fish oil in humans. This doctor is prescribing it for a dog. There's a vast difference between those two systems and how they, you know, take nutrients in and function. But I think the overall thing it does is confuse us. Supplements in general, in the end, after all the research that I've done for this episode, I know you've done for this episode, we're sitting here, we're talking about it. Overall, I just feel freaking confused, dude.
Yeah, and that is to the benefit of the conspirators who are doing this. So there's also, you know, we mentioned the idea, like if we go to the vitamin side of this versus the herbal side, right? We look into the idea of helping people with what are called nutrient gaps. You need the magnesium, you need the vitamin A, et cetera. Then you're going to talk with folks like Carol Haggins, scientific and health communications consultant with the Office of Dietary Supplements. First off, also, there's so many U.S. departments and offices that I think most of us never contemplate. But she points out some of the same stuff we were saying earlier. Folic acid. Yes, it is a great help to folks when they are carrying a child. Vitamin B12 is great, not just for vegans, who do need access to B12, but also for people over 50. It helps.
This has 250% of my daily vitamin B12. Nice. That's a drink I've got in my hand right here. That seems like too much.
And speaking of, glass house stuff, I am drinking some kind of alkaline water.
Oh.
It has ionized hydration, and it has electrolytes added for taste.
As long as it doesn't have free radicals, because then you need antioxidants.
The name of it is free radical.
Water.
Free radical water. Yeah. You're right, though. Like, it's true. We also have to your point about things being complicated, we have to note that supplements, typically in developed countries, they're not necessarily lifesavers. They can get you up to normal. They can help your quality of life and indeed have some preventative aspects for problems down the road, but they're not going to cure you of prostate cancer or something. There is not a pill that people can take that will make them able to see if they are blind. And it's extremely unclean that different corporations or flim-flam artists would try to pretend otherwise. But I was interested to learn, man, and you know this, folks, in developing countries where a lot of vitamin deficiencies can be much more common, supplements can be a real game changer, like survival food or functional food, as they call it. What's that really weird one? Plumpy Nut. Have you heard of Plumpy Nut?
What the heck is that?
It's like if peanut butter was cocaine, but I'm going somewhere with this. Plumpy Nut is crack. or it's like if peanut butter was water, Plumpy Nut is like Gatorade.
What? It says ready to use therapeutic food.
Yeah. It can address a lot of nutrition deficits in, you know, places suffering from food insecurity, but it's still a private company and they make a lot of money selling Plumpy Nut. Also, the name is kind of dumb.
Yeah. For the treatment of severe acute malnutrition, where it provides treatment at home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whoa, it's crazy that it's a thing. It is chock full of vitamins, minerals, lipids, nutrients. Good golly. It's even got niacin.
Oh, finally. Yes. It's got all the stuff. It also has a weird apostrophe, which I should stop harping on. It's like Plumpy apostrophe Nut. Maybe it's cooler in French, but it's manufactured by a place called Nutriset. Anyway, yeah, these things happen. We have to point out this is an excellent example of how different requirements may be in one part of the world versus another part of the globe. Again, there's not really a silver bullet. And, you know, a lot of us in the audience tonight might have our own favorite supplements. You might be taking some fish oil or some multivitamins, B3 complex. Is B3 complex a thing? Did I just make that up?
I don't know B3. I know D3 and D2.
Okay. Well, let's say those instead. and if the list of those provably helpful substances is so short, then why are there so many things out there in the marketplace? Why are there shelves and shelves and shelves of all these powders, pills, and drinks? I mean, it's like that, what's that? Was it Jefferson Airplane? One pill makes you bigger. One pill makes you small.
One pill grows your hair long, and another prevents it from growing at all.
And one will touch your dong. Yeah, the idea that you could make body parts larger, right? Or, address hair, male pattern baldness, or whatever. This is where one would imagine the FDA would come into play. And technically, this is the law stuff, right? This is where it gets juicy. Technically, the FDA says a statement from a supplement needs to have substantiation and to be truthful. On paper, that's awesome.
That sounds great.
Sounds good to me.
How do you prove it? I guess with clinical trials?
Yeah, that would be the idea, right? I mean, but it's weird because there are a lot of clinical trials. And time again, journalists try to find independent scientists, people without industry ties, to confirm whether or not a given claim is meaningful. And to date, every time you try to find an independent scientist arguing this, you're going to run into a brick wall. Like our pal at the Washington Post and many other journalists tried to figure out what was going on. And Tamar Hospel again said the dietary supplements industry, and he spoke with trade groups, multiple ones. He said they could not point me to a single independent scientist who agrees with industry supported studies. So
oh, yeah.
I don't know. It's crooked.
Supplements in this whole industry entered a really strange phase. Well, I mean, they've been in a few, but around 2012. So when the Mayan calendar decided, you know, everything's going to end, supplements were having a real boom time. And there were several things that a group of Johns Hopkins researchers and other very important, smart people came through and tried to get a grasp on the supplement industry. And in 2013, 2014, my goodness, there are some studies that came out, and you'll find papers in the NIH, the National Institutes of Health, in their in their published documents that are basically filed under Office of Dietary Supplements and other places like that, where they come through and they said, at least these Johns Hopkins fellows in 2013, they came through and said, hey, everybody, stop taking supplements. None of it makes sense. None of it does anything for you. Stop taking mineral and vitamin supplements. The title is literally, quote, enough is enough. Stop wasting money on vitamin and mineral supplements.
Mm-hmm.
It was published on December 17th, 2013. And they just said, no, don't do it anymore. And here's our, you know, here's our research to back it up after looking at all of the studies that have come before us. Mm-hmm. And then almost immediately after that, there's a whole other camp of scientists that also have PhDs that say, hey, guys, no, you're wrong. You're absolutely wrong. The one that was published February 13th, 2014 by Thomas G. Gulliams. It looks like Williams, but with a G-U-I. PhD. This was in Integer Med. It's almost like an opinion piece, but it's also backed up by research. And it is the exact opposite that just says, you guys are wrong. You guys are completely wrong in your research. And this whole thing from 2013 is picking up so much steam. You guys are completely distorting the way America and the rest of the world is viewing supplements.
Mm. Take more.
But again, you wonder why we all feel so confused. It's because if you've got doctors on either side yelling at each other, basically, which is what I just described, how are we supposed to know? How am I supposed to know with a bachelor's from Georgia State if, you know, taking vitamins are going to help me?
Right. Especially when one would hope that these founts of authority are unified. Right. If the facts are the facts, then people should agree. And that simply seems to not be the case. I'm even, you know, at this point, I think we have to get to one of the weird aspects of this in the U.S. in particular. What do you think? Should we pause for a word from our sponsors?
All right. Well, then let us take an ad break. We'll be right back.
Is getting gas at Shell burning a hole in your wallet? What if I told you can easily earn cash back while you fill up? Introducing Drop, the app that turns every fill up into a reward. With Drop, you'll earn points to get free gift cards every time you fill up your tank. Download Drop and use code DROP88 to instantly receive $5 in points to jumpstart your savings journey. Don't miss out on turning your gas expenses into something rewarding.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Snagajob is where America goes to hire with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring.
With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs on demand, temp to hire, part-time, or full-time.
You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer?
Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that.
With their easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way.
Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right?
Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. Visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert.
Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
And we have returned. Shout out to everybody who gets their oil straight from the fish. That's what I do. I got an aquarium.
Oh.
I'm not even killing the fish, man. I just pick them up and I like...
Just
juice them out a little bit and put them back in. Catch and release.
Yeah, but that is how you should get fish oil. If you need fish oil, you consume it.
Yes, that part's true. Folks, you can't wring fish out like a wet towel. Don't do that. It's not cool for the fish.
You just take some olive oil, like take them out of the water, take some olive oil, let them swim in there for a second, just for a second.
Just like a second.
And then and just lick it off. You're good. Yeah, that's fish oil.
Nothing weird. We are joking, folks. Please don't try that. But there is something that's not a joke, and it's ridiculous and dangerous, which is this. And a lot of people don't know this when they walk through their health store or their grocery store. If you are a company in the United States and you are marketing some kind of dietary supplement, you do not have to establish that it is safe. You are only required to tell the government when something goes wrong.
Yeah. It's an alarm system, mm-hmm. right?
It's a good way to put it.
It's not a preventative measure. It's an alarm system.
It's a reactive measure. So you could come out, by the way, with like, you know, Paul, Matt, and Ben's fancy how you doing pills, and it turns out that they have a dangerous health effect, and then the FDA will come back later after enough people have died and say, hey guys, how you doing pills are bad, and we'll be like, what? That's crazy.
but they're so fancy.
How are you doing? But this idea, right, the legislation lagging behind is a common problem. And Matt, I know we're both looking into the very sexily named Dietary Supplement Health and Education Act of 1994, or the DSHEA. And this is still controversial because it says that the FDA does not have the authority to approve these supplements as long as they qualify as something that was already in the natural food sources of the country. So like if you are selling vitamin C and vitamin C is already in a bunch of citrus products, then go with God, right? Because that's not a drug now. That's just something people can eat and ingest in other ways.
That's just orange juice, bruh.
That's just orange juice. Why are you being fancy?
But you know? Why don't you put some calcium in that too?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, wait. This question has nothing to do with our mission tonight, Matt. But do you have a strong stance on pulp in juice?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Yeah. If I'm going to make a juice, mm-hmm. then I'm cool with pulp in it. If I'm going to order a juice, keep that pulp out of my drink.
There we go. I like pulp in a juice because it makes it feel more like juice to me.
Yeah, real chewy, you know?
Yeah. I like to chew my beverages. So that's a slight discursion, but we do have serious questions here. Like, why does a firm, if a company is required to have substantive, truthful claims about whatever dietary supplement they are selling, then why do they not have to substantiate the safety of that product before they roll it out onto shelves?
That's a great question.
You know, and again, like we're not read on to the emails from the FDA. We're not around in the congressional brainstorming sessions. We know that no matter how slick the packaging is, how many like warm colors and mm-hmm. cool cartoons of plant leaves and whatever, all of that stuff doesn't matter. And the buzzwords often don't matter either. They're like sound and fury. They're signifying nothing. We talked about it a while back, you know, how tricky different marketing buzzwords can be, how they look like actual descriptions of fact. Like all natural doesn't mean anything. Whatsoever.
Completely not natural vitamin D.
I would like that. Yeah. Vitamin C for cyborg.
This you know is, what I mean? Yeah, man, this is synthetic magnesium. It's real hot mm-hmm. right now. Mm-hmm. get mm-hmm. some while it's still around.
It's actually an NFT.
But it is true, because we treat these things, we take these things like drugs, as we're talking about in the beginning, right? It's a pill, something you have to take as though you would Ritalin or something that you were prescribed maybe as a kid, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they're not that at all. But they are things that are generally found in foods, but it is not a food because you're not eating it.
Right.
It is a weird little gray area that the FDA just says, not my purview, pal.
mm-hmm.
Well, I got enough to deal with over here.
Right. Call us back when hundreds of people die.
We'll set the alarm off.
Right. Call us when the alarm goes off. I mean, this is another thing, too. The U.S. is in a somewhat distinct situation because the healthcare and dietary regulation of this country is wackadoo. But if you die in the U.S., we've said it before, if you die in the United States in recent history, the primary cause of that mortality is poverty. You can trace it back to 1,000 different ways, but it's kind of an all roads lead to Rome situation. I mean, you know, private industries are making millions, billions of dollars selling hope to the hopeless. And this poison masquerades as medicine. I mean, yeah, we can look back on, you know, like Chinese emperors ingesting mercury. We can say that's chump move stuff, but that is a comforting blindness. The grifters are real. They are here. They're actively operating. There are tons of substances sold as supplements that can do actual harm to people. And one of the most infamous recent cases that we were both reading about is ephedra. Remember ephedra? Remember how ephedra was everywhere for a while?
I know ephedrine.
I
always think about echinacea. That was a thing that I remembered. It was like around forever and everybody needed to take it. And then for a while, oh, wait, no, you don't need to take it. It doesn't do anything. And then, oh, no, it does stuff again. But I don't know ephedra. Tell me about that one.
Ephedra was it's a substance that occurs naturally in some plants. And for a while, it was marketed as an appetite suppressant, an energy booster. And people were taking it willy-nilly until about 155 folks died as a result of ingesting it.
Whoa. So it was like it was a weight loss pill or something like that?
Yeah. Like an upper weight loss thing. Kind of like that jacked up lemonade that, Panera got in trouble for?
Yeah, well, that's just loads of caffeine in a, dump it into your giant cup that we provided you with. And then, by the way, free refills.
Mm-hmm. So ephedra can cause a quickened heartbeat. It can cause elevated blood pressure. People can vomit. They can have heart palpitations. It's also difficult really to control the dose in some ways. And as a result, there was this study from the Annals of Internal Medicine that said products made with ephedra were only 1% of herbal supplement sales in the United States in like the early 2000s, but they were responsible for 62% of herb-related reports to poison control. So people were accidentally, and these aren't folks, you know, trying to get high or something. They're taking what they feel is a helpful dietary supplement. In 2003, the FDA reacted and removed some ephedra products from the U.S. market. And to this day, it is the only dietary supplement to get an outright ban in the entire history of dietary supplements. And again, is it a food? Is it a drug? It occurs in plants, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I know.
Ephedra.
According to, I think it's Harvard that you linked to here, Ben. Mm-hmm. They're saying that it was in a specific herb that's used in Chinese medicine, mahuang.
Yeah.
H-U-A-N-G. So it's like a naturally occurring thing, but then I guess if you try and, you know, break it down into a more concentrated form, right? Mm-hmm. It was having all kinds of bad effects. I don't know how I missed this, Ben, but I missed this.
Well, you know, a lot of people miss it because they're having a tough time buying more of it.
Oh, no, I don't mean miss it. I missed, as in I didn't know about it.
I'm messing with you. Yeah, I mean, look, it does have proven efficacy for things like weight loss, but to your earlier point, with that can come unintended side effects and consequences. That's a reason why drugs that may be prescribed by a doctor sometimes come with a secondary prescription to combat the side effects of the first drug, and you get caught in a feedback loop. You know what I mean? Maybe that's a story for another evening. I mean,
yeah. Tell me about this next thing you found, Ben, because this genuinely freaks me out. As a person who takes a multivitamin that I guess I trust, and you know, take vitamin D and a couple other supplements to my diet, this freaks me out.
Yeah, in 2018, there was a study published in the medical journal JAMA, and this study looked at about a decade of data with the FDA, and they found that between 2007 and 2016, the FDA identified no less than 746 dietary supplements that were adulterated in ways the consumer probably didn't clock. Like, imagine you get a natural herbal supplement and later you learn it has not just food components to it, but it has drugs in there as well. We're talking steroids, erectile dysfunction stuff. And they recalled less than half of the messed up things they found.
Wow. I remember some friends early on in college who would buy pills from a local gas station that had crazy names. I think the ones I remember were Yellow Jackets.
Oh, yeah. Yellow Jackets, White Crosses, Trucker Speed.
Yeah. And it was essentially this, like a supplement pill that you just go up and you buy, like it's a vitamin, but it totally acted like speed. For people, they would stay up all night studying and be jittery. And I'd be like, what is going on? Do you guys have a lot of caffeine or something? Like, nah, man, it's Yellow Jackets. Okay. Yeah. Well, I hope everything else is okay. Good luck on the test.
Exactly. Now you have to start asking yourself, well, if we know all of this is true, and we do, the public does know this, then why do people keep buying stuff? The short answer is this: just like snake oil from ages past, a lot of these substances, they're not going to help you, but they're not going to harm you.
Yeah.
They're just blue sky pills. They're placebos by another name.
Well, and they're expensive. They're not going to hurt you, but dang, they're expensive.
They are going to hurt your wallet.
Yeah. Often it's a one time per what? Maybe once or twice a year purchase if you get a giant pill of some supplement that you're taking, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But still, in the end, you could save that money. And at the recommendation of many, a PhD that we read for this episode, take that money and instead buy what they refer to as nutrient-rich foods, right?
Sure, yeah.
And like, save that money and instead of going cheap on dinner, actually go out and, you know, get some fruits and vegetables that you end up putting together for a meal. Mm-hmm. And I think in the end, it weirdly enough, that's the thing that resonates most with me. This idea of overspending on something that is probably not going to fully help me when I could be spending money on something that is almost definitely going to help me. Because your body processes food so much easier than it does a, you know, super condensed pill or a powdered form of whatever mineral you're trying to put in your body. If it's naturally occurring in that spinach, it's probably going to do your body a lot better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So what we could say is there is unfortunate truth to these conspiracies in that not all by any means, but many, many unethical purveyors of dietary supplements, they're trying to cure you of not a medical condition, but what they see is a financial condition. You have too much money and they want some of it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know, man. It's so gross.
But it's also a matter of belief. It's a matter of faith in some ways. Mm-hmm. Because it does go back to older practices, right? It goes back to, my family swears by this thing that we all take on a daily, weekly, whatever basis. Around this time of year, we eat this specific food, and we supplement it with this. And, you know, if you believe it, as we've talked about before on this show, the placebo effect could work in your favor. If you've got something like that that's deeply ingrained in your belief system, or maybe your group or families or tribe's belief system.
Yeah, I really appreciate that point because, yeah, the short answer to why people keep buying this stuff is because it's not harming them. But the deeper, more philosophical answer here is that the human mind is kind of a drug all its own. It's a drug that does itself. That's the best way to think of human consciousness. And these supplements that people turn to, they're seen as distinct from the pharmaceutical industry, often with good reason, because the pharmaceutical industry is its own bag of badgers. And like you said, Matt, the placebo effect is real. To a certain degree, your body will do better if your mind believes it is doing something to improve the mind and the body. It doesn't, obviously, right? Good vibes are not going to restore your sight, you know, nor regrow limbs or erase cancer or solve very real problems like dementia. But the problem is, even with that, the problem is that it is much more difficult to fact check things now and much more easy to purport to be an authority. Back in the days, you know, the medicine shows, we could have just pitched in for a covered wagon and we could have sold some BS and then we would have blown town before we got caught, right? And then later, maybe we could print out some broadsheets, we'd get on radio. But now anybody can make a website. And anybody can kind of say whatever they want.
Oh, yeah. That's one of the huge problems with researching this episode, even. If you type the correct search terms, specifically for me, at least in my findings, into Google, you are going to get so many more at the very top of that search, websites that are wellness, health-oriented, that are often tied to a product or a private group that stands to make money off of making you believe about a specific supplement or a very generalized concept of supplements working in your favor. It's one or the other, and it can be both sometimes. But one thing that you can do, I guess let's point this out, Ben, this was written in a WebMD article that was kind of a generalized thing about how should I think about supplements and what should I do? They are saying when you start your research, because there is such a muddying of the waters that exists on the internet right now, literally, and this kind of stinks, y'all.
Oh, boy.
Look for those NIH PubMed database articles that have been peer reviewed that have information about a specific type of supplement, not the one, not some specific brand name. But this, you know, whatever that substance is, look for those trials, look for the research. That's the stuff that's not fun to read, but at least see if there's a general positive outlook on that substance before you go down a road. And they also say, definitely talk to a doctor or, you know, a dietitian that's accredited in some way. Just talk to somebody before you start taking a supplement. Especially if you got other health issues going on already.
Right. Yeah. Especially if you have clear and present health issues. And we will do something. I don't want to say it's Sith Lord stuff, Matt, but just fair is fair. Balance and moderation, all things. If you are an unethical, evil entity and you're wondering, hey, how can I get in on ripping off people? Well, there's a second step you can take that'll be more successful and indeed kind of safer for everybody involved. Don't pretend to treat a real problem. Invent a fake problem and then say you're treating that. You know what I mean? Like halitosis.
Oh, dude. Right? Dude, the old thin lip. I got that. Man, I wonder if they got something for that.
I'm saying with great affection. I'm just imagining some fake doctor who is like, well, Mr. Frederick, mm-hmm. good news and bad news.
Okay.
Which do you want first?
Oh, I guess the bad news?
Well, I'm going to give it to you straight. You've got something we call TLS, thin lip syndrome.
I felt like maybe I did, but I wasn't sure. What's the good news?
The good news is that this visit is non-refundable and you have paid in advance. Oh, it's good news for me. It's good news for me. It's good news for me as a doctor. I also have several pills that could help address TLS. But you know, let's get past all this mumbo jumbo about big pharma. You know, Mr. Frederick, you strike me as more of a grounded person, right? You're more into natural medicine, correct?
Yeah, I like, you know, micronutrients. I'm down with, you know, phytochemicals. Do you have any of those?
Yeah. Would you say you are probiotic?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Great. In that case, then I'm going to write you a prescription here for the local Spirit Halloween. Try out these wax lips.
All right.
Okay, and see. No, this I'll is off anything. The rails. Oh, geez.
No, this Wait, is wonderful yeah. because, again, it feels like that often. And there's a possibility that you could be treated that way. Probably not, right? Generally, if you're going to see a doctor, they're going to try and hook you up and help you out. But we've, in another episode, unrelated to all the ones we've mentioned so far, we've talked about the lobbying side of the pharmaceutical industry and how it functions in like singular doctor's offices and how you get drug reps that show up and are like, "Hey, we really need you to push these pills. How you doing? Here's some lunch."
Yeah, perfect. You're right. You're absolutely right. And also in that off the rails scene we were exploring together, that guy who was talking to Mr. Frederick, not a doctor. He got his white coat at Spirit Halloween.
Oh man, I knew it.
Hopefully a doctor would not try to grift someone, but you are right. The pharmaceutical lobbies do have a far reach. And despite the laws that are meant to protect the patients to some degree, there are a lot of loopholes, right? Like, is it a bribe or is it just a gift?
Who knows? It's both, always. Maybe. I don't know. We didn't even talk about the old nootropics and the...
We didn't talk about nootropics!
Adaptogens and all the lion's mane and different mushrooms I'm supposed to take now, including... What's the crazy one? The fungus that eats through ants' brains and makes them go to the
cordyceps.
I'm supposed to take cordyceps now, according to the internet. No, thank you, internet.
We also, in the spirit of full disclosure, folks, we, as I think we've been pretty clear, we also in our personal lives do take dietary supplements. Right?
Yeah. Oh, I do. Yeah. I do. We've been sponsored, honestly, several times. We've been sponsored by dietary supplement companies that we look into and we feel comfortable with. It's not often that they come our way.
Right.
Which is a weird thing.
We said no to some things, and I think that was the right move.
Yeah, but I mean, listen to other podcasts. There are some nootropics going on. In podcasts, not to name names, won't name names. There's also adaptogens all day long, and what they do, and I don't know. That's a whole other episode, maybe.
Yeah, part two of supplements will be nootropics, because as you know, Matt, I have experimented widely with nootropics and psychedelics and so on.
I've tried some stuff too.
Yeah,
I guess what. I don't feel smarter, but maybe that's just me. I don't know.
I think maybe the fact that we are not feeling smarter means that we are indeed learning something.
Maybe.
Try to keep it positive. Look, you know, people in general tend to either really like living or be really terrified of dying. So it shouldn't be a surprise, right? From the days of ancient empires all the way to 2024, the eclipse and beyond, there is going to be some group of people trying to leverage that desire, leverage that fear for profit. And yeah, a lot of this stuff doesn't seem to harm you necessarily, but we also, you know what else we didn't talk about, Matt? We didn't talk about multi-level marketing for supplements. We didn't talk about all the lawsuits that are coming, that have passed, what is past, is passing, and is yet to come. I don't know, man. It's like the shadow of patent medicine never really left because the money got too good.
Well, I mean, if we're talking
we both just threw our hands up,
yeah,
folks.
If you're talking billions of dollars and mm-hmm. people are still buying, I mean, it's capitalism, man.
Oh, okay. I'm putting that on the episode list as well. So we got nootropics, we got capitalism.
This is too much to handle on Eclipse Day, y'all. It's Eclipse mm-hmm. Day. You know, we pushed recording back by 30 minutes so we could finish the eclipse, you know,
right?
Become lunatics before we got in here. I feel like it's affecting me. I feel like it.
I love it. Do you think it's the placebo effect?
I don't know, dude. It's Operation Solar Warden.
There we go.
I don't know. Something weird's going on.
What a nice placebo man. No. Okay. No. Like First Omen, but placebo.
Oh, which is getting great reviews, by the way.
Yes. Thank you for sending that. Do check out the First Omen. Folks, as always, the best part of this show is you. Thank you for tuning in. Matt, Paul, Noel, and I will be returning, I think, with a couple of extra episodes following through the conspiracy surrounding the supplement industry. In the meantime, we need your help. Tell us what's on your mind. Tell us your firsthand experience, stuff that works, stuff that doesn't. What other tangents should we explore? We're all over Instagram. We're all over YouTube. We're all over social media. We also have a phone number and you can call us.
Oh, yes. You can call 1-833-STDWYTK. That's our number. It's a 3-minute voicemail system. That means you have 3 minutes. Say whatever you'd like. Just got to fit it in there or else it's going to cut you off. So, you know, you're going to feel the pressure as it's going on, but it's great. Say whatever you want. Just give yourself a cool nickname and let us know if we can use your name and message on the air. Ben, this is the little Easter egg for anybody that got here.
Yeah.
I didn't mention the U.S. Pharmacopoeia, which is something.
Oh, we talked. Yeah.
It's something I'd never heard of before, mm-hmm. but this is a nonprofit organization, quote, authority that sets standards for all kinds of supplements. They're the ones that like does the thing you assume the FDA might do.
Right.
But they're a nonprofit that just exists and does stuff. And they will often, if you're looking for supplements, they will often put a little stamp of approval basically on things that they've actually taken a look at, which is a good thing to know if you're out there looking for something to add to your diet.
Yeah, they're also global too, right? They do a lot of work with USAID and so on.
Oh, yeah. Huge. It's just, I never heard of that, and it's worth your time to, again, do some research before you pick anything up from the grocery store or whatever, because it gets complicated.
It gets so complicated. All right. Yeah.
Tell us about the complications you've run into by either calling us or by sending us a good old fashioned email. We are
conspiracy@iHeartRadio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Constantly making trips to Home Depot? Introducing Drop, the app that rewards you for every shopping trip. Earn free gift cards for shopping. Download the Drop app now and use code DROP33 to get $5 in points.
From BBC Radio 4. Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.